Folks, you're going to have to apologize. We're going to apologize right now if we talked a little fast tonight. Tonight could be the busiest night in Carolina fans sports calendar. Derek.
Yeah, Mike, so let's go through it. Canes played the Islanders, the Bruins, the Coyotes.
No. Just tonight. Not all of the stuff we have to cover tonight.
Oh, I thought we were just going to plow through this and have this podcast done in 8 minutes, and we can get back to watching all the sports ball tonight.
Yes, sports. I just want to, like, I want someone to ask me one time. They're like, hey, Flanagan, will you do one of those, like, Sirius XM commercials? And, like, use the promo code SPARPS. And then people are like, I put in sports and it doesn't work. No. The promo code is SPARPS.
With, like, six O's?
Six O's, two R's, two P's, S's. And an exclamation point.
Yeah, if you put a T in that promo code, you actually get charged an extra 10%.
Yes. So if you want a discount on this podcast, just use promo code SPARPS.
Derek, if you figure out where to type in that code, I will give you that 10% off.
One of the busiest sports nights of the year, our Carolina Hurricanes are taking on the Chicago Blackhawks here in about an hour. Also, the NC State Wolfpack has just kicked off against the Demon Deacons. Panthers taking on the Steelers a little bit later.
So we know Carey's busy.
Carey is slammed. Another quick early pod shout out to the Red Eye Rowdies, our buddies who are part of the Oak City supporters, but also are kind of starting to bring hockey and soccer together. They're hosting their first watch party tonight out at London Bridge Brew Pub, 8:30. This podcast will be published well after that, so do not go to London Bridge Brew Pub tonight expecting the Rowdies. They were there at a previous night, but shout out to those guys for doing their thing, bringing more fandom to the Carolina Hurricanes and hosting some watch parties. I love it. If we weren't recording and had a million other sports things to do tonight, we'd probably be there.
I will say, though, if you do want to go to London Bridge at any point and ask them to put the Canes Blackhawks game on, maybe they'll do it. I don't know. Maybe they recorded the game.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Maybe the day before Thanksgiving at 2 p.m, you just want to go in and say, hey, can I watch that Canes Blackhawks game?
Yeah.
No, why not?
Why not? But yeah, no. So, Derek, I think as we kind of kicked it off, you did mention it has been a solid 7, 8, 9, 10 days, something like that, since we've last done a podcast. The Canes have played 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
How have the results been?
Poor.
The Canes have achieved 1 point.
Is it that many?
In that,
that's right, because they went to overtime against Arizona, right?
Yes. We lost to the New York Islanders. We lost to the Boston Bruins. Mm-hmm. We stole a point in Arizona. We lost to the Vegas Golden Knights. And then St. Louis.
Yeah. So in those 5 games, we scored 1 goal against the Islanders.
Okay.
2 against the Bruins.
Okay, that's 3.
3 against the Yotes.
That's 6.
Goose egg against the Golden Knights.
That's still 6.
And 1 against St. Louis.
7 goals in our last 5 games. Derek, on the good meter, how good is that?
Not. It is not good.
Derek?
I don't know that it's completely pegging not good, because it's not below a goal a game, which is the way Arizona started off the year. But it's not good. It's not good, Mike.
So, Derek, during the last TV game,
mm-hmm.
against that St. Louis, I felt like this is the game we're going to turn it around. And I said, I went to the people. We went out there on Twitter and we said, look, folks, what are we drinking? Are we drinking beer to break this losing streak? Or are we drinking whiskey? And astonishingly, the people chose whiskey.
We did get a couple votes for bleach. And for those of you who recommended bleach, both thank you and no.
Yes. But yeah, no, it turned bad quickly. I was done tweeting by the middle of the second period because at the end of the first period, we were 2-1, they score with 14 seconds left, whatever it was. And I chugged that glass of Slane whiskey, which was delicious, by the way, when sipped.
when chugged, you don't exactly pick up a lot of nuance in the booze.
But shockingly, I also did not pick up a lot of nuance of anything in the second period. But again, the game was fun. But Derek, tonight for tonight's podcast, I cracked a delicious beer. I drank it. It was good. But I said, we're playing big sports night tonight. I've got to drink at a level commiserate with the team that I live and die by, which is the Carolina Hurricanes. Huge Panthers
commensurate?
Fan. Commensurate? That, whatever. Pick a word. I barely understand the English language.
Keep going.
Thank you. Derek, tonight, in my beautiful glass here, in my 10th anniversary Stanley Cup championship glass.
I got a nice view of Brett Hedekin's backside on that cup.
And there is nothing nicer than that view. Derek, I'm drinking Seagram 7.
I thought you had a good job.
I'm drinking Seagram 7, Sprite Zero, and a splash of zero-calorie limeade. This is how good the Carolina Hurricanes are playing. And I'm going to let you go on a diatribe while I drink about half of this, so that way the rest of the podcast is actually fun, because the fucking team sucks! Sucks, Derek! Fuck this team!
Wow. I think we hit our yearly quota for F-bombs as you drink something that apparently the gas station was out of Thunderbird and Night Train on. Sorry, Mike, maybe next time bottle mix in the beer review, or just in the fermented beverage review, I can do a bottle of MD 2020.
No, Mad Dog 2020.
Yeah.
I'm going back to drinking.
Good Lord, sir. Mike, I don't really know what to do. Mainly, I was thrown off by the F-bombs, and I hope...
Derek! We were fun! I tried to cover it, like 4 minutes through the podcast, right? I was like, yeah, no, we can have fun, and we can talk about this, and the Rowdies, and they're doing stuff, and we're fans, and yay, and celebrations. Fuck this team, Derek. Fuck this team, and they're fucking assholes. So fucking tired of 9, 10, 11, whatever the fuck it is. Tired, Derek. They showed me what it was like to be loved, and then they turned their back on me, and they gouged my eye out. With a dull skate, Eric Cole came by and offered to break my neck, because that sounded like more fun than watching this team lose in a shutout tonight when fucking Corey Crawford goes 5-hole on the length of the rink on Scott Darling in his triumphant return to Chicago. Jesus Christ, save me!
Hit that damn X.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to yet another expletive-free edition.
About that.
Welcome to the disclaimer edition of Cheaters Never Win. My name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
And I don't know what the hell is going to happen tonight. All I know is we're going to have fun because this team told us we were allowed to have fun. And then they ripped out our hearts. And, you know, stomped on it. Corsi style. This podcast still brought to you by the good folks at Sports Channel 8. And we're still still a proud member of the Sports Channel 8 family. Our apologies to our sponsors, who we still love. Bottle Mix, thank you. Thank you for paying up for the rest of the season today, which is basically why that, you know, we're going to do this.
A little inside baseball there.
But no, seriously, thank you guys for the sponsorship. And also thanks to Dawn at Caniac Real, Caniac underscore Realtor.
Dawn respects the underscore.
Respects the underscore.
And Dawn and Bottle Mix both respect the 328 sponsor challenge, which is buy a house from Dawn, buy a bottle of anything from Bottle Mix, send us a picture that it's happened, and
wearing your 328 gear.
Yeah, and then we'll do something amazing for you. We'll figure it out when that happens. I'm not going to say if, because someone's going to do it. This housing market is crazy, and it's going to happen, and I'm going to lose it, Mike, and I might even use as many pieces of profanity as you did in the open when I see that picture.
Here's the thing, Derek. I don't care about the profanity anymore. I'm tired of yelling at the TV. I want people to yell with me.
Instead of at you?
Or yell at me. I don't care. Yell at me. I'm so tired of yelling at the screen and stats and goaltending and Kane's Twitter and Nylander and everything.
So Mike,
I just wanted to stop, Derek.
Well, here's the problem, Mike. We host a podcast, and we have on the rundown, we have the Nylander rumors to talk about.
Yes. Yeah, let's
I even wrote down goaltending. I wrote down scoring. I wrote down Corsi and shooting. So we need to talk about some of these things, don't we?
Fine, Derek. Let's talk.
All right, let's start with the Nylander rumors.
William Nylander's not going to fix this team. He's not a center.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
He's a center and a winger the same way Aho is.
So is Aho. So is Victor Rask. So is,
right.
You know, again, you get Nylander. Do you have him play third line minutes? Because Jordan Staal is playing second line minutes. No. Aho is playing first line minutes. So where do you put? Do you put Nylander as the center of the third line after you gave up a great defenseman in Pesci? If you're listening to Pat frickin' Clark, you're also giving up Teuvo Teravainen, and you know, a potential first round pick or whatever it's going to take to have a guy play third line minutes. No, you put him on. You play Teuvo, you play Aho, you pay Nylander.
Okay,
right?
You know, but if we're trading Teuvo.
Wait, if you're what are you actually accomplishing? You're trading Tavo's 60 points for Nylander's 70 points, and those 10 points are going to be the difference when we're doing 1.2 goals a game in a 5-game stretch.
Nylander's better than Teuvo.
I absolutely agree that he's better than Teuvo.
But I don't know that I don't know that he's the solution to this team. And that's the issue.
He's what, a 75 point player?
He has back-to-back 60-point seasons.
Okay, so Teuvo had 60 last year.
And he's 22. He's a couple years younger than Turbo.
Okay,
I think the big thing
is, let's say he caps out at 80 points. Is that additional 20 points that he scores on the first line going to make the difference when we go 0-4-1 on a 5-game stretch and score 7 goals in 5 games, Derek? No, it doesn't fix it.
My God, the pessimism is so thick with you. I thought I'm the curmudgeon,
I
Mike.
Hate fun.
Is this Face Off? Is John Woo here?
Whatever.
Are doves going to fly out sometime when I open a car door?
When doves cry.
But I
love the idea of Nylander when this team was 4-1-1 after 6 games.
And I hated the idea of Nylander then, because what we had was working. Now what we have isn't. Dubas has been watching this team. We've been sending multiple scouts to Toronto games. I think if we're looking at just this season, we need to give up one of the defensemen and future things, which I don't know how much interest Toronto has in future things. But if you could add Nylander to our forward core without subtracting a piece as big as Teuvo, now we're looking at a top nine that has some additional scoring to it. Because right now, our top nine is really dependent on Aho and Turbo to score.
Yeah. You mind if I have a seat, Derek?
Now that you've already had a seat, yes.
Okay. Let's talk. I'm going to lean back here. Actually, hold on. For those of you not watching the video portion of the podcast,
which is apparently not a thing now.
All right.
Okay, Mike has leaned back like he's about to undergo some dental procedure. And I'm seeing a lot of bare midriff right now.
So, folks, if you don't mind here, let's talk. The Carolina Hurricanes overperformed the first 2-3 weeks of the season. It was great. It was fun. But here's what's happened. This team is not that talented. We were sold a bill of goods. Warren Fogel was going to be the rookie of the year.
No.
Andrei Svechnikov was going to score 30 goals. Teuvo Teravainen and Sebastian Aho were going to consistently put pucks in the back of the net. Now, sure, Sebastian Aho had a 12-game point streak, broke records, tied records to start the season. But, folks, Sebastian Aho hasn't scored a goal in 10 games. He's the center on the first line for the Carolina Hurricanes, a team that is desperately less talented in their forward core than many other teams in the National Hockey League. But guess what, folks? We do not have enough talent to keep up with the most talented folks, which is why we're currently shooting, I believe, at 127 shots per game clip.
That might be a bit high.
If you count all of our shots that do go high, yeah, that may actually be the number of shots. But we're just not as talented, folks. And if a guy like Willie Nylander makes us more talented, great. I love it, you know? If the defense, you know, can consistently put some points on the board, great. Dougie Hamilton's been playing better. Justin Faulk's been, you know, playing a little bit better. Our special teams are an abomination. Somewhere, Kevin Adams and Craig Adams, I have to assume that they're in Buffalo and Borneo accordingly, are crying. Crying tears of blood. Because what used to be a proud, proud penalty kill for this franchise is now the worst in the league. We can't stop shit. We don't score shit. For the last five games, this team's been no fun to watch. You know, two periods in Arizona were nice. Boston outskated us. They were more talented on their top line. New York Islanders, for some reason, seem to have this team's number. The Vegas Golden Knights had a vendetta because we beat them at their house last year. I don't know what the hell happened in the second half of the St. Louis game. I was hammered.
All right, so, Mike.
I'm taking, yeah.
Are you done?
No, I'm laying here for the rest of the podcast.
Okay, that's cool. I'm going to interject, and I got to stop you here because it's like I'm sitting here and we're in a therapist's office. I can't let what you're saying.
Give me some therapy, Derek. I'm lying back. That's why I lied back.
I can't let what you're saying go unanswered. Yes, I completely agree. The last five games have sucked a big bag of insert noun that you don't want to suck here. That said, the Canes are in seventh in the Metro, and that's not good. However, 1 point separates fourth from seventh in the Metro. It's just 1 point. It's all very tight right now. And we're at the, hopefully, the bottom of a downswing. If we go back to the beginning of the year, here's how we predicted the Canes would finish the season in the Metro. Third, fourth, fifth, fourth, sixth, fourth. We were all expecting this team to finish in the middle of the Metro and maybe compete for a playoff spot. More of the 328 crew predicted the Canes to make the playoffs than not, but not by a huge margin. We're still in that. If we win tonight's game, we leap to fourth in the Metro. Hey, look at that. And Mike, you were so far off. Our power play and our penalty kill aren't last in the league. They're 29th in the league. That's not last. There are two teams worse than us, and I take that as a point of pride that somehow, someway, there are teams who have shittier special teams than we do. So yes, things aren't good, but the fact that we are not the worst team in the league with those god-awful special teams, at some point after 6 years, these shot rates have to pay off, right? Right? Sean Tierney tweets those charts every damn day, and we're always up in the best quadrant. It's got to work sometime, right? Mike, it's not that bad. If this team wins three games in a row, you're sitting there and you're pumping the team's tires and you're happy as ever and everything's going to work out just fine. So
we're never winning three games in a row again, Derek.
Losing streaks happen. It sucks. There are good things to look forward to, and there are bad things that we can fix. It is not all dead yet. This team feels happy.
Derek, you do realize we are on the precipice of what could be the worst week in my life.
Well, I mean, that I don't know every week of your life, but I'm just going to say that sounds melodramatic.
Derek, Cam Ward is coming back to Raleigh. Derek,
yeah.
would you like me to show more midriff for this portion?
I would like you to show much less midriff.
Derek, would you like
or even fewer midriff, depending on how English works now?
Derek, before I for those of the folks who don't have the video portion of this podcast, which is not currently being produced, would you like to share with the people what my shirt says tonight?
It says nobody F's with the Jesus.
It says nobody F's with a Jesus. That's right. Actually, it says nobody fucks with a Jesus because, you know, we've already got that TVMA rating by iTunes tonight. And seriously, nobody fucks with a Jesus. Cam Ward coming back in to Raleigh in the next 7 days. A team that was fun. A team that was having all of the fun in the world. But guess what? Cam Ward's coming back. And he is going to take away, if Cam Ward has a shutout in Raleigh and beats Scott Darling, I do not know what I will do, Derek. I mean, I will not do anything like cause physical harm or anything, but I will most definitely take a day off work. I will. I don't know what the podcast will be next week. It may just be a constant yell for like 45 minutes that no one can actually listen to. But
it's not too different from many.
Derek, I don't know. I don't know, Derek.
Dude, what happened, Mike? You're the optimist.
Derek, I've been the optimist for like 10 years.
How has a 5-game stretch broken you so badly? I truly don't understand that.
They told me I could have fun, Derek.
You can have fun.
And I came out of my shell and I was having fun and I was going to be positive about this team.
Mike.
And now Mike, Cam Ward's going to come in and stop everything with his glove hand. And
Mike, it's
we're going to lose and it's going to be awful and I'm going to cry.
Mike, it's not your fault.
But Derek.
Mike.
Derek.
It's not your fault.
Don't do this, man.
It's not your fault, Mike.
Derek. Don't do this, man.
Mike, it's not your fault. For real, though, when it comes to Cam Ward on Monday, you may want to mute 328 in real life.
Yeah.
Because despite all of Mike's, malaise and moaning, and Mike is now vertical again, and that's for the best for everybody, we respect and like Cam Ward the person.
He's a great father.
Great father. You know, his article in the Players Tribune about his son's hardships, it's all a very good read. He seems to be a great person and great father, and that is the most important thing. Nothing but respect for Cam Ward the person. Cam Ward the goaltender, Cam Ward the hockey player, can get these lungs. So, yeah, just a heads up, there's a goalie chant coming Cam Ward's way on Monday. There may be a tweet or two directed about Cam Ward. So just know that going in, that it's coming. It's coming. So feel free to mute us that night on Twitter, in real life, whatever you need to do. It's not an attack on you and your love for Cam Ward, but it's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be a certain subset of folks. I expect a 5% follower loss. We'll miss those of you who choose to leave us that night. But I personally have 9 years of rage. And Derek, well, I appreciate that therapy session, by the way.
You're welcome.
That was good. I feel a little bit better.
By the way, I round up to the hour.
Sure. I'll pay.
Here's... Me and the King's Motel. We both round up to the hour.
It was so many off-color jokes. Please, mute us in real life. Tell us we're awful human beings. We should respect Cam Ward. When they do the video montage for Cam Ward, I will absolutely stand up, cheer with aplomb. Is that the correct word, Derek?
Aplomb.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Sounded like you said Mitch album.
Yes. And
we're going to have Tuesdays with Maury over here.
I will thank him for everything that he did in 2006.
Same.
And then just giving it to him.
Oh, God. Like, if the Canes take a shot that isn't high glove, what are we doing?
I want somebody to run him.
No.
Yeah, no. No, take the knee.
No.
Cobra Kai, do or die. Take the knee out, Derek.
You want us to resign? You want us to sign Rick Nash and have him go across the crease?
Damn right. Jeez. Rick Nash, come out of retirement for one game. Go across the crease and just...
I'm not trying to wish the man physical harm.
Oh, harm. All the harm.
No.
Yep. Wishing it right now. I would not personally do it. I would not pay somebody to do it, but I would pay to watch. Rick Nash, call me.
I know Rick Nash listens to this podcast.
Rick motherfucking Nash.
Yeah. But no, the only harm that I want to see to Cam Ward is about a 400 save percentage that night as he lets in 6 out of his first 10 shots and gets yanked. Why he wouldn't get yanked before 6 and 10, I have no idea, but I assume the new 33-year-old head coach, whose name I have not yet remembered in Chicago, doesn't understand what pulling a goalie is all about, and he's going to leave Cam in there because for some reason he thinks Cam Ward can right the ship.
I mean, Cam Ward can right a ship.
Can he?
Sure. I mean,
look, I mean,
he saved Martin Gerber's ass.
We could run into one of Cam Ward's five games in December. Maybe he's doing them earlier this year.
Stop, Tarek. I'll go back in the malaise chair. Oh, okay, guys. Let's, you know, we could do this. We have more important things to talk about. The Canes, awful losing streak. We're going to shake it off. We're going to win against Chicago tonight. We've got a great interview on the Dawn with Fathom Realty guest line. We're going to talk to one of the captains from the Carolina sled hockey team. Rob is going to be on here momentarily. We're going to talk a little bit about sled hockey casino night. We've got all sorts of stuff to talk about tonight, Derek. Anything but, you know, kind of knock off my malaise and craziness. Is there anything you wish to bring up over the last couple of games that you know, stuck out to you, either positively or negatively, about what this team should change or potentially something we could build upon?
So I haven't watched a lot of the last few games. You know, Mike, I know you can relate to this, and I know others can relate to it. Having a one-year-old makes it more and more challenging to watch games that start at 10 p.m. local time. And then Tuesday night against St. Louis, I was much more focused on election results, and I'm not going to go down that road on this podcast. But I haven't watched a lot of Canes hockey, so I don't have a lot of nuance in my analysis. All I can say is I've seen the numbers. The special teams continue to be a dumpster fire, which boggles my mind. I have seen that there is not nearly enough Dougie Hamilton on the power play, and at some points we've been running Jacob Slavin out on the power play, which I don't really get that. Just some of the usage things are a mystery to me. One thing, if I go back a few games, Mike, I think it was the Islanders. No, it was the Bruins game. When there was that goal that Brad Marchand beat Justin Williams down the length of the ice around the goal, that you and many others were quite upset with Justin Williams and saying that he should be demoted and all this and that. And I disagreed with that. So I don't know. I just feel like there are some things with this team. It's more tweaks. It's more bad bounces. I don't feel like it's an effort thing. I don't know. Full disclosure, and this is probably no mystery to the people that listen to this podcast, I am not a hockey expert.
What?
I know. Yeah. I could not diagram plays very well. I cannot teach anybody about hockey strategy other than how to play EA Sports NHL hockey, which is a terrible way to play real hockey. But it just doesn't... I don't know. We're not getting good enough shots on the power play. We're not preventing good enough shots on or good shots on the penalty kill. I don't know.
Hey, I think here's what killed the fun for me, Derek. Here's the day the music died. You may have heard this from me before. Good things happen when you go to the front of the net. It seemed like for the first 7 to 10 games, we were going to the front of the net hard. We were driving the net. We had drive from multiple lanes, and it seems like that drive may be stopping a little bit short of the tough areas, and I know it is hard to do that for 82 games, but it seems like we were falling into spaces where we're not driving to the net as hard. We're not getting in the goalie's eyes enough, and I believe that if you go look at some of the crazy advanced stats, that while we put up the highest number of shots, we also put up the highest number of shots that the goaltender has a clear line of sight to the puck. And I don't know if you've heard this before, Derek, but if a goaltender can see the puck, they're going to stop the puck.
Yeah, that's a good point, because there was a guy on every line who was going to the front of the net. You had Ferland, you had Fogel, you had Zikov, you had Martinook.
Yep.
There was one guy on every line who at some point on a shift in the offensive zone was going to put his keister near the paint.
Yeah, and it seems like that is gone. And I don't know if that's, hey, now we're 7, 8, 9, 10 games in, everybody's got a few bumps and bruises, it hurts a little bit more. Maybe you stop a few feet out so that way you don't take the beating you had. But that's the difference between this team being fun and this team being 0-4-1 in our last five. Derek, we have better things to talk about tonight.
Okay.
Thank you for doing that. I'm going to hit pause. We're going to go to the Dawn from Fathom Realty guest line. I'm going to eat some M&Ms. I'm going to drink some more Seagram 7 and 7. And we're going to talk about Sled Hockey Casino Night.
This is Don Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I'm as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.
Folks, we want to welcome the podcast to definitely up-level tonight's episode. Coming on to promote one of our absolute favorite nights in the hockey calendar, it's Rob Pickell, not to be confused with Rob Dickel.
Right.
Because that's a different thing.
Or Rob Dibble.
Or Rob Dibble, you know, bring in the heat. Rob is one of the captains of the Carolina Hurricanes sled hockey team. He is here to talk to us a little bit about what's going on in the local sled hockey community and to bring us up to speed on the Canes or on the Carolina sled hockey casino night coming up on 11/16. So Rob, thank you for joining us. I butchered that introduction, but we're not going to go back and re-record it because you're a busy man and I will just fall into a malaise about this Carolina Hurricanes team. So Rob, tell us a little bit about what's going on in the local sled hockey community right now.
So we've got a team up in Raleigh. We're associated with the Raleigh Youth Hockey Association. They're kind enough to pull us under their umbrella, help us out with fundraising and administration. Right now, we're kind of in a building stage this year. We've got a couple adult players and we've got a bunch of youth players that we're trying to build into two competitive teams, one at the youth level, one at the adult level. Long-term goal is to build probably three separate rosters of youth, an adult C and then an adult B or A down the road. practice every week. We've got ice at the Iceplex on Saturday mornings from 9:30 to 10:30. We've got a couple great coaches that have been with the sled program for a while, and then we picked up a couple more through the Raleigh Youth Hockey Association this year. So it's been real good. Practice this year have been a lot more structured and I think beneficial than they have in the past. So it's been good. Been a good start to the year. Looking forward to a couple big tournaments after the first of the year. NHL Sled Classic we got coming up in February, and then we'll do the National Hockey Disabled Festival in April.
Oh, that's awesome. You kind of I was going to ask, like, hey, I know you got some tournaments coming up, especially some big ones after the year, but you beat me to those. And I would imagine that the better practices are because Joe Rebar, who we've had on the podcast before, has less of a hand in those practices. Or what would you attribute the better structure of the sled hockey in this area to?
I think a lot of it is mainly because we're with an actual hockey organization this year, with the Raleigh Youth Hockey. So we're following a lot more of the USA Hockey American development model for our practices now. One of our the main coaches that's been coming out, Jeff Ling from Raya, real good guy, real solid hockey background, and he's been helping us get that a little bit more structured than we have been in the past. So it's been good. It's been good. I think the kids especially are picking up a lot more skills than maybe they have in previous years. So it's been good so far.
You know, we love to give Joe a little bit of a ribbing here on the podcast, but really what's happening with the sled hockey community here in Raleigh is just a testament to how much hockey has grown in Raleigh over the last 20 years with the Carolina Hurricanes here. And Rob, I know we've told this story before on the podcast, but as it's been explained to us, you know, there's lots of funding and lots of organizations supporting, you know, youth sled hockey for for underage youths who may need ice time and that type of thing. But that dramatically changes once people kind of age out of the youth programs and turn 18. Can you tell the folks a little bit about kind of how that process goes and why supporting casino night for Raleigh sled hockey is absolutely so vital for your guys' future?
Yeah, so on the fundraising aspect, like you said, we get support through, we get some from the Carolina Hurricanes through their kidney community, but that is strictly for our youth team. So, and at least half of our program is adults, 18 years and older. Most of us are quite a bit older, guys in their 30s and 40s like me. So obviously that money, can't help out that portion of the program. So we got to go to other avenues, to raise money. And so our big fundraising event every year is the casino night. We're holding that this year on November 16th at Solis. We'll have casino style games. We're gonna have food, music, a DJ. Some Canes alumni should be there. We've had good turnout from them for the last couple of years. Last year, some of the Storm Squad was there. I expect they're going to be there again this year. So it's a good turnout, and it really helps our program. That's, like I said, the main fundraiser that we do during the year. We do a little bit here and there, smaller things during the year, and then at some of the tournaments that are held locally, we try and raise a little bit of funds, but mainly everything comes through casino night. And the reason why we do the fundraising is so, the audience kind of knows why we do that. Obviously, a lot of our players, almost all of our players, have some form of disability. That's, why sled hockey exists. So that people that can't stand up skate have another opportunity to play hockey. And so, a lot of our disabled athletes don't have a lot of money. And we try and make sure that the program is no cost to the skaters. So we provide equipment, we provide funds for guys to travel to tournaments, and that all comes through the generous donations of people that support us, and mainly, again, that comes from our casino night that we hold every year in the fall.
Yeah, we think it's fantastic, and I love the idea of people who have disabilities not having to dig into their wallets too much to go play some hockey and have a good time together. We've had a blast at previous casino nights at Big Boss and at Solis. I'm sure this is going to be a great event just next Friday. So where can people go to get tickets for the event? How much are tickets? And anything else that they should know about that casino night? Because I know it's going to be a great time. Table games are always a blast.
Yeah, they are. It's a lot of fun. The organization that we've had come in and run the games has done a really great job, and it's been a lot of fun. I've gone the previous 2 years, plan to go again this year, obviously, and I've had a good time every time. So people can go to our Facebook page, the Hurricane Sled Hockey on Facebook, to get more information about the casino night. And there's a link to purchase the tickets there. Tickets are $80 per person, and what that'll include is a couple drink tickets and then chips to be used at the table games. And, of course, once those chips are gone, if people aren't winning or they go through their drink tickets, you can always purchase more. But the initial $80 will get you in the door and get you at a table and a couple drinks and free food and music and fun and a great time.
We've never known any crew to go through drink tickets. Never.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, not us. So, Rob, last question from us. How in the hell do you fix this Carolina Hurricanes special teams? As a guy who knows and understands hockey, if you were the coach, if you were Dean Schnauth, how do you fix the special teams so that way the Carolina Hurricanes do not get waxed by the Blackhawks tonight?
I wish I knew. I really do, because I would love to be able to help them get over this slump they've been in. I mean, it's kind of amazing the number of shots they're putting on goal every night and just can't seem to get the back of the net. And I don't know. It's killing me, though. I really thought we were going to you on track for a playoff season when the season started, and it's not looking real good right now, so I hope they can turn it around.
Yeah, we'll see. yeah, we're all optimistic, even though what Mike has said earlier tonight may not have seemed as such.
Yeah, we're going to survive. All right, Rob, thank you again. Give everybody that website one more time so that way everybody knows. November 16th, Solas on Glenwood Avenue, Glenwood South, biggest party of the year, sled hockey casino night. Where do they go to get those tickets again, Rob?
Yeah. So they can go to Facebook and just search for Hurricane Sled Hockey or Hurricane Sled Hockey Casino Night. And then if people want to get more direct information, you can also email us at hurricanesledhockey@gmail.com. And can get more information that way as well.
There you go, folks. You heard it here. Rob, thanks so much. Good luck in the tournaments, and we look forward to seeing you over at Casino Night on the 16th. Please be kind to us at the tables. We have yet to walk out of there with any chips. We make one stupid bet, the last bet of the night, and we always lose. So
yeah, it sounds like how I gamble too.
You're not cheating. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. All right, Rob, take care, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Right. All right, thanks. You too.
Rob. You know, thanks to Rob, and I know we give Rebar heck, but always good. The entire organization associated with Raleigh Youth Hockey and Carolina Sled Hockey here in the region is absolutely phenomenal. It is great to not only get out and meet these guys, go see the sleds. You know, Joe always said, you know, hey, can we get you guys in the sled? And I'm like, no, my ass is too big. But seriously, the amount of hockey knowledge, talent these guys bring to the game is phenomenal. Go have a good hockey conversation with them, play some table games, learn a little bit more about their sport, because it is a different beast once you mm-hmm. understand the amount of strength and tenacity that these guys have playing this game. It is phenomenal to watch. You get a chance to go watch the team play here in Raleigh. Highly encourage you to do it. It is great stick and puck. But again, Derek, I know you and I actually have my wife's birthday that night, but a member of the Section 328 family will be there to represent us, as we have been for the last 4 years. And be part of that. So we're highly looking forward to that. Go to the website, carolinasledhockey.com.
On Facebook, they said.
I'm sorry, on Facebook.
Yes.
And get your tickets, because it is going to be a great event. We could talk about malaise and other sorts of things. Derek,
I think you've already done all of that.
And I could curse because, you know, Derek really enjoyed that part of the podcast. Or we could just do some cheat mail, do a beer review, and go watch the Carolina Hurricanes break the losing streak against
the
Blackhawks.
Yeah, there's the optimistic Mike I know.
Cheat mail. Let's go get that cheat mail.
Aw, there was noticeably less verve in that. Mike, first question from our buddy Dan McLaughlin at Kaniac176.
Hey, Dan.
Simple question, but not a simple question. What the hell happened?
Other teams caught up, and by them figuring out and remembering how to play hockey, our talent gap has shown. Derek, I have a question for you. This one from Dustin Boudreaux. He is at Mgopuck. Big Michigan fan, for those of you who aren't aware, so that's why this question is coming to you. Using present and past Hurricanes, create the perfect player in a combination of best shot, pass, skating, hockey IQ, and nickname. So build a Franken hockey player out of current and former Canes.
So this is like what we thought we were doing in the offseason about Voltron, and then we were quickly corrected about what Voltron actually is.
Because neither of us
really know. So I will put this together. Okay, best shot. There are two things I want in a shot. I want a heavy, accurate wrist shot, and send me your hate mail now, but give me Alex Semmons' wrist shot when it's on.
When he is not recovering from wrist surgery.
Legend has it, he's still recovering to this day. And give me the strength and complete randomness of Danny Markov's slapshot.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Because that also means you're probably puffing on a Marlboro Red while you're doing it.
Okay.
So give me that shot combination. Pass.
Can I hit you? I mean, this one's easy. It's Ron Francis. He is the greatest assist man of all time. There are other guys we could absolutely, you know, we could bring up names like Corey Stillman. There's other guys along the way.
Ray Whitney.
Ron Francis is the answer, and there is no other answer. Skating.
Skating, not Ron Francis.
Absolutely not.
Also not Kevin Hatcher.
Correct.
Depends on what type of skating you want. If you just want out-and-out speed, you got to go Sammy Kapanen.
I agree.
If you want what-the-hell skating, Jeff Skinner. If you want a guy who just skates like a horse and people think he's not putting enough effort in despite the fact that he's a supreme athlete, Joni Pitkinen.
I was going to go Joni Pitkinen. I think Joni Pitkinen, I will take his skating any single day. Hockey IQ.
Rod Frit. I mean, if you're using one player for one thing, you can't use him for another.
I think that's the rule that we're going to make up right now on the spot. So I can't reuse Ron Francis's hockey IQ. I'm going to take another guy you kind of mouthed earlier, Ray Whitney.
Yeah, I say if I'm not using Whitney for passing, I'm using him for hockey IQ, because a guy of his physical abilities, and obviously he's a really good athlete to play so many years in the NHL, but he was never the fastest, the strongest, the tallest, any of those things. But he made a great career and put up a hell of a lot of points. So give me his hockey IQ. Nickname, I can't go with Daryl Sittler's nicknames, and he never played for the Canes. Best nickname from the Canes.
Nickname that we may have given a guy even.
Well, where are you going with that?
I mean, we've given multiple nicknames, so no, you please go ahead.
I mean, I love the fact that we called Craig Adams the Wild Man of Borneo, despite the fact that we apparently misunderstood that he was born in Brunei and not Borneo.
Still a great nickname.
It is. Give me Jay McClement, because Hands of Feet is a good one.
Yes.
Craig Adams was also Hands of Feet.
Craig Adams
was the original Hands of Feet. So give me that one. Give me Hands of Feet or Kevin Adams as Heed.
Yeah. I was going Kevin Adams as I retract that. Byron Richie.
Big baby head.
Quickly followed up by my favorite Carolina Hurricanes nickname of all time. It's not Happy. It's not something anybody on the team called him, but people around who've been around for 20 years still know it. Give me the baby giraffe. Give me Joey Mormina.
There are 9 people who get the genesis of that joke.
Joey Mormina was like 6'6", 6'7", and looked like a baby giraffe on skates every time he stepped on the ice. Legs were going in all sorts of directions.
I forget if the credit goes to Brian Shaw or Jonathan Hawkins, but I know it's one of those two guys who were sitting in 328 with us on one of like the, what, 4 games Joey Mormina played here?
Yes.
And said he looks like a baby giraffe. So if it's one of those two guys, credit to them. Baby Giraffe is a great nickname. Thank you, Dustin, for that great question. And I hope all the bad things happen to your football team. From Ed at that Edmund guy. If it was still possible, would we all be cool with giving Aho a lifetime contract?
No.
That is correct.
No, the correct answer is no, because players get when players have nothing more to play for except for what's living inside of them, that is something that potentially could wane over a Rick DiPietro length contract.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll say no. This one was answered by M. Smith Keynes before, but I look forward to you making up an answer, Derek. This one from his at Clinzy. Clinzy asks, why does Justin Williams stand at the far side of the blue line when the starters are announced?
He's got to have his time to fart.
Great answer. I got nothing better than that.
As a captain, he doesn't want to bring that gas upon his teammates, so he goes to the other side of the blue line to rip ass before the game.
Good question.
Yeah. Let's see here. This is from Jeff D at Sexy Hockey Goalie.
Ooh, hey, Sexy Hockey
Sexiness
Goalie.
Sexiness in the eye of the beholder. After watching, listening to the last 3 games, what would you guys say is the biggest weakness when going on the power play? For me, it's trying to rush the setup without knowing where to set up.
I think the biggest issue on the power play is the lack of time we spend playing the puck below the goal line as opposed to playing the puck from the point. I think this team is much more efficient playing from behind the goal line and being able to dish from there, being able to have the defensemen make cuts and not have to bomb. I think the other biggest problem with the power play is the fact of Justin Falk and the like to play the power play with their skates immediately on the blue line. I think they should be about 3 to 4 feet in from the blue line, so that way it compresses them down a little bit. It actually makes passing angles a little bit harder, but it also makes shifts much harder on those guys who are playing either the four square or the diamond, and be able to kind of compress that a little bit, get guys better in front of the net, get more traffic in front of the goalie. I'd like to take credit for that. Pat Clark taught me that.
The other thing I would say, and I know there, you know, the defensive responsibility hockey mindset that's out there disagrees, but I would like to see a defenseman set up in a position to one time the puck before it crosses their body. So if we have a right-handed shot, don't pass it from the left side. Let's set it up on the other side of the ice so they can one time it quicker.
Agreed.
I would like that on the power play.
I don't hate that. Derek, would you like a question?
Sure, why not?
Derek, this one from our buddy Kevin Kohler. He is at Kohler K08. Would a post-game bag skate a la Herb Brooks ever happen in the NHL? And B, would it have an effect on a NHL team? Yes, it's
yes, C, Maurice, comma, Paul. Bag skates have happened. They've happened fairly regularly here. I'm sure you could ask Jeff O'Neill about it.
Yeah. If you ever get the chance to meet the O-Dog, he will absolutely point to there was a post-game bag skate to where most of the team skated until puking, and that was the night that Paul Maurice lost this team.
Again.
And again, nice use of it. I like that, Derek. That's,
see?
It's layered.
How about it?
Yes, you're like an onion. You make me cry and want to eat tacos.
Never mind. This is a fun one to me from our buddy Matt Riegler, at Matt Riegler. On a scale of 1 to 10, 5 being dead average, and for those who may not know the backstory, an 18-year-old kid is now mayor of a town in Oregon.
Okay.
How good of a mayor of your hometown would you have been at age 18?
I would have been an 8.275.
That is very specific.
Yes. I was that specific because I would have been that good of a mayor. I was untainted. I was motivated. I had not found beer and or booze yet.
And when you say your hometown, what town are you saying?
I'm referring to beautiful Newport, North Carolina.
Okay.
Small town. So Daryl Gardner was the mayor from basically the time I moved there in eighth grade to just a few years ago when Mayor Gardner unfortunately passed away. So yeah, he was a mayor for like 35 years, some crazy long amount of time. It's a small town without a lot of big town issues that I would have been able to basically not screw up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would have been a perfectly fine mayor.
So, for me, if we're saying that, you know, based on the fact that it was a town that you, the town you were in when you were 18, not necessarily your hometown. So, for me, that'd be Raleigh. I would have been terrible. I'm from Zanesville, Ohio, which I think at 18 I could have managed.
It's Ohio.
Well, and it's Zanesville. It's a great place to not live anymore.
It's a great place to drive through.
Yeah. Hey, USA Today said there's one of the top 10 places in America to get ice cream. Tom's Ice Cream Bowl. Holler. It's a great place.
There you go. Derek, last question from this mic from Save by Quick. You may know her better as Ashley McLaughlin. Favorite hockey broadcaster, play-by-play and or color, past or present, not named John Forslund.
See, you're taking away the easy answer.
Mine's fairly simple, and I can go a couple of places. Right, my favorite of all time was the guy I grew up listening to on AM radio. The guy who actually I feel like started to teach me hockey when I was in middle school before I even moved to Newport, North Carolina, and that was listening to Mike Lang cover the Penguins. And to hear Mike Lang and his colorful, scratch my back with the hacksaw and Michael motorcycle, just made me want to listen to that. And I will always have an affinity for Mr. Lang and believe he will be one of the preeminent hockey voices ever. I'm guessing bad things happen because I just heard my wife scream in anguish, much like I was in anguish earlier.
So I don't have as good of an answer because I didn't grow up watching hockey. I love Jim Houston. I think he does a great job on the national calls in Canada. So I'm just going to defer to you, Mike, because you had such a good answer and a nice story about Mike Lang. And Kane's actually scored. Live in-game update.
Live in-game update. Who scored?
The Score app has not updated yet with who scored the goal.
Raleigh Monkey, who scored? Ladies and gentlemen, your goal, number 37, Andre Svechnikov.
Buy the merch. Okay, Mike, I got to find one more question for you real quick.
Please do.
All right, last question from our buddy Pat Clark. Can you play hockey right-handed?
Yes.
Good answer.
Floor hockey.
Good answer.
Yeah. Pat's also assuming that basically everybody who's coming up to the ranks is playing hockey left-handed because they think it's cooler that way. But, you know, it's just backwards. Derek, Bottle Mix was kind enough to give you a beautiful, delicious beverage this week. Will you tell people about the beverage you are drinking?
Because
the beverage I'm drinking is empty and obviously
not
just hate drink.
And cannot be acquired outside of an ABC store in this state.
Correct.
So this week I talked with Bruce up at Bottle Mix. We're like, what should we drink this week? It's starting to get a little cooler, but it's too early for Christmas beers. I do New England IPAs all the time. I'm not quite ready to dip into all the bourbon stouts and all those things yet. Give it time. And thankfully this week they got in like a ton of cases of Sierra Nevada Celebration. So this is one of my favorite seasonal beers. It is not like holiday spiced. It's not anything that's gimmicky like a pumpkin beer, which they can still be good while gimmicky. Sierra Nevada Celebration is a fresh hop IPA, so it's always going to be a little bit different just based on the freshness of the hops. They started doing this in 1981, and they say they use only the fresh hops of the growing season, or the first fresh hops of the growing season, to create this complex and robust ale. It has layered pine and citrus hop aromas, which I know Mike loves. And they balance against rich malt sweetness, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Sierra Nevada does great work. This beer was also packaged about a month ago, so it is still nice and fresh. And as the weather's getting cooler, supposed to be in the 50s and even the 40s over the next week or so, getting cooler, want to think fall beers. This pine that's in here, it has some like wintry kind of aroma, so it's warming without being a winter warmer style beer. It's a, you know, medium ambery color. It's a little darker than some other IPAs. Absolutely not a Flanagan Light Test beer, but absolutely tasty stuff. The nose on it, you definitely get a burst of pine. The citrus, it's like orange peel, grapefruit. It's refreshing, but warm at the same time. It's a really nice balance of malt and hops. The finish on it, it's nicely like dry, a little bit bitter, and I mean that in like that good citrus piney way that makes me want another sip. But it's a damn tasty beer, and the thing I love too with Sierra Nevada is most of their beers are very reasonably priced. This one I think is just a shade above $2 per beer. They have a ton of them at Bottle Mix, so go in, tell Bruce, tell any of the guys there that you want the 328 beer of the week, the Sierra Nevada Celebration. You know where they're located by now. They're just south of 540 on Creedmoor. A little bit farther north from Crabtree around Creedmoor, up on the left behind Briggs and all that other stuff. They've got a really cool wine tasting with some really good cabs on Saturday. Highly recommend that. That is a paid tasting. It's $5 per person for that tasting, but there's some damn good stuff that they're going to open up. They're also doing an event with Hardywood out of Richmond, who makes some phenomenal beers on the 20th. So you're going to want to be there for that as well. I think that's on the 20th. Check it out, bottlemix.com. They've got their events there, and they've got a lot of good stuff. So go in, grab some Sierra Nevada Celebration. Grab any other beers that you want, because there's a ton of good stuff.
Enjoy the wine tasting. Grab some beers. Come on out. Canes, Red Wings will be the second game of the winning streak as we prepare to put up a 10 spot on Cam Ward. On 11-12.
Yeah, and
we may still be scoring on Cam Ward by 11-14.
And again, for real, if you're a huge Cam Ward fan, we're not gonna knock you for that. But
you may want to go ahead and throw that 24-hour mute on us around that game.
Yeah.
Just as a precaution, because we're gonna do us, and we don't want to hurt feelings, but we've got to get some things off our chest that day.
Derek, is there a curse on Carolina sports? I ask you this because, again, we know what's happened with the Hurricanes, and Canes up 1-0 in Chicago, live in game, up Gates, Svechnikov on the score, Walmart and Martinook with the assist tonight. And I was like, wow, let's see what's going on with NC State. And, you know, things are well over there. But then I said, like, well, let's see what's going on with the Panthers and Steelers. And I was like, okay, Steelers are up 14-7. Last I saw it was 7-0. Christian McCaffrey had scored. Derek, if I said, hey, the Steelers scored twice and the Panthers scored once, how much time would have elapsed over those three scores, do you
think?
9 seconds. Derek, there was 3 touchdowns scored in 25 seconds of game time. Carolina Panthers score, touchdown, Christian McCaffrey. On the next play after the kickoff, a 75-yard touchdown pass to Juju Smith-Schuster. And then on the first play from scrimmage after the kickoff, an interception return for a touchdown by the Steelers. 3 plays, 3 touchdowns. Carolina doing Carolina shit. NC State, still plenty of time to do NC State shit. Please, please, Carolina Hurricanes, I beg you.
Don't.
Just let the other teams do what they got to do. But please, for tonight, help us out. Thanks to Rob for being here. Thanks to Bottle Mix. Thanks to Don from Fathom Realty. Thanks to Sports Channel 8. And most importantly, thanks to you guys for listening through this slightly not safe for non-headphones at work edition. I appreciate you guys being here while I got a little bit off that my chest. I'm sure everything's going to be better. We'll try harder next week. If not, it may be the Patreon exclusive Xanax edition where we do a podcast, but no one really cares. Until then, my name's Mike.
I'm still Derek.
And we got a game to watch. We'll talk to y'all soon.
Beyond!